Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another English with Fraser podcast episode. This is actually the second episode today, so two in one day. We're on a bit of a roll, as they say. We've got the momentum going. We're ready to go. We're putting podcasts out. We're putting episodes out. We're building a library. We're getting the resources ready for everyone so you can cash in and smash your English exams, improve your British English, and keep going forwards and upwards. A bit of a rousing speech to start this one there. I don't know where that sort of motivation and inspiration came from and hit me, but it just felt right to start the podcast, start the episode in that way. I was just washing my hands with this soap I have in my bathroom, and it's the same one that I've used for quite a while. And as I was washing my hands, I was sort of smelling it, and it just reminded me of this sort of certain time in my life a few years ago. And then it made me think, oh, it's quite funny how certain smells and certain sounds sort of make you think of certain times and memories, and you associate them with certain times in your life. So if I listen to a certain song, there's this one song by Notorious B.I.G. that I used to listen to after school on Fridays, and I think about year 10 and 11. And I'd only listen to it after school on a Friday at like 4 o'clock. So whenever I hear that song, it just makes me think of when I was at school doing my GCSEs, but also kind of brings back happy memories, because whenever I listen to that song, it was in fact a Friday after school, weekends begun, jubilation, jubilant feeling. So it's quite funny how those things work. And also with smells as well, you kind of smell a certain smell, maybe an ingredient, and it might remind you of a certain time in your life. I think a classic one for me would be sort of certain cinnamony smells, and of course cinnamon's quite a festive ingredient, festive spice, so I'd sort of associate that with some sort of Christmas memory, or being at a Christmas market, because sort of my dad likes cinnamon, but I'm not sure the rest of my family do, so don't eat it much at home, but it certainly reminds me of like a Christmassy market. Talking of, I think the best Christmas market I've been to was one in Belfast. When I was studying at Belfast, they had a nice Christmas market in front of the town hall. I remember being there with my dad and his girlfriend, and they had one of them big sort of German style bratwurst. Now, I'm not sure what they're called. Now, I would need a German to assist me here. I don't think I have any listeners from Germany yet, but hopefully, definitely in the future, there will be. So let me know, my lovely Germans out there. One of them massive, like, barbecue pits, and they put the sausage on them. I mean, it might just be called, like, an oven, but I feel like in German, it must have, a specific name, at least. But I remember there's one of them big fire pits, the bratwurst sausages on, and then put one of them in like a hot dog bun, ketchup, mustard, eating that, walking around the Christmas market in Belfast. So yeah, kind of a random thought. I know it's March now and that's sort of a Christmas memory, but I was just sort of telling you what I associate with certain things, and it does bring back good memories, that's for certain. Talking of, I was in China the other day, January, Feb, Spring Festival time. And the time I've been to China previously was actually 2014 on a school trip, would you believe it? We went to Beijing, saw the obviously the Great Wall, Forbidden City, all this jazz. And I remember when we were in China the first time, there was like this certain smell. Now, it's kind of like a food smell. Essentially what it is like soy sauce and other spices. Now, as in the UK, we're not huge on spices and stuff. Never really smelt this smell. Not calling it smelly, because obviously there was just lots of like food restaurants and food trucks and sort of places like that. But I went back to China again this year, and I just smelt this same smell, and it just made me like smile and think, oh my God, this is the same smell as when I was in Beijing in 2014. And it's been like 10 years, never smelt it again in my life. Come back to China, and then it's just this sort of spice smell, which we obviously don't have really in the UK. But I just thought it was really funny and made me think of certain smells and musics that remind you of certain times in your life. And that's the beauty of it. You can have that one, listen to that one song, and it just takes like two lines from the song and then immediately transports you back to some other time in your life. So pretty cool, really. So it was my sister's birthday the other day, and I had my nan come over, and we were sort of sat around at the table playing card games. So I thought that would be a bit of inspiration for at least part of this episode today. Now, we were playing this card game called Kings. Just did a wee bit of research then on the internet, and it appears there's another card game called Kings, although it's a drinking game. Now, this one wasn't a drinking game, was no alcohol involved. But so essentially how you play is you set the four kings up on the table. So you've got King of Hearts, King of Spades, King of Clubs, King of Diamonds. And then everyone has some money. So at the start of each round, you put one pence or one coin in the middle, and then you choose one king you'd like to put your other money. And you donate that money onto that king. So say you wanted to put one in the middle and one on the King of Hearts. Then you put it there. And then the other person would also sort of decide where they're going to donate and put their cash. So it could be that there's one coin on each king. If you're playing with four and everyone chose a different one. Or sometimes you can pile it up on the same one. And then there's sort of a huge bounty to be won on one of the kings. So once you've done this, you each get dealt some cards. So in English, we say dealt when you give out the cards. So you deal out the cards. So everyone gets, it's either seven or nine cards. I think we were most of the time playing with seven cards, actually. So once everyone has their seven cards, then they put one card in the middle and then it's your turn to go. So what you have to do, actually, no, you don't have to put one in the middle already. Whoever goes sticks one in the middle. So say I've got, you have to get rid of the lowest one first. So it might be start on black. So you have to get rid of the lowest black first. So you put down the two of spades. And then the next person, anybody else, if they've got the three of spades, they have to put it down. Someone might have the three of spades, so they put it down. And then someone else needs to put the four of spades down. Now, if nobody else has the four of spades, the person that put the last card down, it's their go to go again. And then they have to put their lowest red down. So you kind of alternate between red, black, red, black. And then now your next lowest red might be, let's say, five of diamonds. You put five of diamonds down. Someone else might, nobody may have six of diamonds. So it goes back to you. So then you put your lowest black down. So it might be 10 of clubs. Now, essentially, what you have to do is try and get the queen out, because once you get the queen out, the next one is, of course, the king. So once you get your queen out, say you put the queen of hearts down, then you win all of the money in the bounty on the king of hearts. So say there's three coins on the king of hearts, then if you manage to put the queen of hearts down, then you'll win all the money on the king of hearts. Then you'll grab that. And then the end of the game is when one person gets all their cards out. So the best way is if you can imagine you finish, you've got one card left and it's a queen, and you put the queen down and then you win the money on the king, and then also the money in the pot. Because the first person to lay all their cards wins the money in the pot. Now, it's a lot more simpler than a game like poker. For example, my best friend, who I've known since I was 11, when we were in secondary school together, we were in the same form. Now, in the English school system, you sort of have tutor groups, or they might be called form groups. So there's sort of 30 kids in a tutor group, and that's who you're with for all your lessons, apart from lessons that have sets. Now, certain lessons have sets, which means they're sort of weighted to how smart each class is. Now, a good example of this would be maths and English, although we did have science as we got older. So we'd have maths and English sets. So set one would be the smartest or the brightest, which means smart in English as well. would have all the smartest kids in it. So set one, maths, would have all the best kids. And then set four would be the lowest set. So it would have the less smart kids in. Now, there were certain people that were in top set English, top set maths, top set science. Yours truly being one of them, happy to say. Although they didn't have sets. Actually, no, they did. They had sets in science throughout, but this is how it changed. So in year 7, 8, 9, they just had science. So it was like all three sciences. So biology, chemistry, physics, all in one. That was set weighted. I was in top set science in year 7. And then I dropped down to second set in year 8. And then in year 9, I was in third set out of 9 different sets. And then we had this one exam. So I would have been year 9, I would have been sort of 13 at the time. And now this was the first exam that I'd like properly studied for at my secondary school. Science exam, tried really hard. I had this one textbook that the teacher gave me. She said you can take it home. So I took it home, studied from that. And I think I must have studied for like a week, maybe for this exam, maybe like 5 days. And that was the most I'd ever studied for an exam at the time. And then did really well and ended up getting put into the top set. So I was in top set science as well in year 9. And that kind of worked quite well because year 10 is when you start your GCSEs. And that's when science was split up from one science to the three separate sciences. Split up into chemistry, physics and biology. And because I was in top set in year 9, they just sort of pushed me to top set all of them in year 10. So because of that exam, I ended up being in top set for everything really. So maths, English, all three sciences was in the top set. So back to it. So your tutor group would be the other subjects. So from year 7 to 9, I was in tutor called G. And then my tutor group had a couple of my friends in. And then my best friend, who is works as a poker dealer. So he deals cards and poker. So this is where this anecdote came from. So I would be in 7G at the time, then 8G, then 9G. So for, let's think, religious studies, geography, drama, history, ICT, which is computers, and then PE, I'd be all in the same class. So I'd be in my tutor set. So for maths, English, science, I was in a weighted set. But then for every other lesson, I'd be in your tutor. So who you were in your tutor with was kind of quite important because you saw those people every day, pretty much, was always in the classes. Now, thankfully, I have some good friends from my tutor that I'm still in touch with. But it's quite funny how it works that way, that basically some of my best mates were in tutors, either my tutor or tutor near mine. So I have another really good friend and he was in a tutor called K, which was actually opposite. So we were both in art together. So I've known him as well for ages. So it must be like 2012. So it's just quite funny how life works out, that maybe if I wasn't in the same tutor as these guys or in tutors close to, proximity wise, I wouldn't perhaps be friends with them now, which is a strange thought at least. So I'm glad I was. And actually with a tutor group, your tutor teacher, so your form teacher, in my school they just called it your tutor. They could be anyone really, so it didn't matter what subject. So my year 7 tutor, she was an art teacher. And then K, which was another tutor, their tutor, he was an art teacher. But then I remember I had a couple of friends from primary school. I think their tutor was a maths teacher, but this Romanian maths teacher. She was quite funny. So it didn't really matter what subject. And then as I got older, I think I had a physics teacher when I was in sixth form. So as mentioned before, sixth form is the sort of, I suppose you call it high school in other countries. So that's after GCSEs or college. I know college in America is completely different, but college in the UK and Europe is when you're sort of 16, 17, 18 before university. So we call that A-levels as well in the UK. So before my A-level tutor, I had a guy who was a physics teacher. But then at that stage, I think the tutor system was more relaxed. So officially, we had to be in at 8:40, but eventually we just sort of skipped tutor and arrived at 9 o'clock for the first lesson. And at that stage, they didn't really care. They were pretty chill about it, didn't sort of grass on us, which means to sort of tell on someone, to stitch someone up. They didn't really say to like the head teacher or the heads of year, oh, these boys aren't going to tutor. They were pretty chill about it. As long as we went to assembly and went to our first class, they were kind of pretty all right about it. So my best friend was dealing poker games at this casino in the UK, and he still does deal poker games, but now for a different company. Will not mention any of the company's names or his name just for confidentiality's sake. Perhaps I might have an episode in the future where me and him talk about some topics, but won't say his name or give anything away. But he was saying how it depends on certain companies. So certain companies that you are a dealer at will allow you to keep your own tips, whereas other companies sort of do a communal tip, which is where you make, say there's 20 people there, including the cleaner and bar staff. Everyone gets 1/20th of all the tips earned that week, and then that gets added on to your paycheck. So he was saying that's not really ideal, because you know you're going to get an extra sort of couple hundred every month, but you could earn that in one night in one game if you're sort of dealing poker. So that's definitely the more optimal way if you want to sort of maximize your earnings. Because sometimes in poker games, you've got people with a lot of money, big high rollers, and if they win really handsomely, then they're going to tip you quite generously. Say someone wins like 10,000, then they might drop you like a £200, £300 tip, because you're the one that dealt the cards and essentially gave them the luck that night and sort of helped them win. But if it's communal tipping system, then it's not great, because you only get a share of that when you want the lion's share. Now, lion's share means majority. So in reality, you don't just want the lion's share, you want the entirety of it, but teaching you guys a new word there with lion's share. But going back to card games, it reminds me actually of a drinking game that me and my friends used to play. And we played it a lot in Prague, actually, when we were in the Czech Republic. I did a podcast episode on that. So if you want to know more about that trip, do go on my episodes and listen to that. Now, this one's also called Kings. So there's two different games, because there's the Kings I told you about earlier, which is a non-drinking game, and then there's the Kings Now, which is a drinking game. And actually, my friend who I was speaking about, who is the poker dealer, his nickname was King something something. So this is a very king orientated theme today, and the UK is now governed by a king. So there you go, it's the King Hour on the King podcast. Now, this other drinking game called Kings is obviously a lot more mayhem, because once you start drinking, it's a lot funnier and people are sort of getting drunk and going a bit wild, etc. So we played this a few times in Prague quite early in the night, sort of 7 o'clock, just to sort of get the drinks flowing, get the music on, get everyone in a good vibe and get everyone sort of ready to go out. And it certainly did its job and certainly worked. I remember one time we started it really early, so like 6 o'clock, right, let's start playing this drinking game. And then before you know it, it's like 7:30 and everyone's pretty drunk already. So it certainly had its designated effect work. Now for this one, you need a pack of cards and then you also need a cup. So I think we didn't have a big cup, so we used like a vase that you'd keep plants in, of course. And then everyone has their own drink. So depending if you're drinking beer, tequila, vodka, etc., etc. And the rules are each card from the deck has a corresponding rule. So If you pull a 3, it has a rule. If you pull a 7, it has a different rule. If you pull a jack, it has a different rule. And you can sort of vary these depending how you want to play them. But just generally speaking, the rules are as follows. So if you get an ace, this one's called waterfall. And then everyone has to drink in sort of a domino effect pattern. So the first person who picks the cards determines how long people are drinking. So say you pick the ace and it's waterfall, you start drinking and then the person next to you has to start drinking just after, and the person next to him has to start drinking just after, and the person next to him or her has to start drinking just after. So as you can see, it sort of tapers down in a waterfall effect from person A to B to C. Now the person that pulled this, they dictate when the drinking starts and ends. So you could kind of do a sneaky one if you didn't want to drink too much and get the ace and then start drinking and then stop like 2 seconds later. But I think more fun is when you kind of get it and then drink for like a few seconds. I mean, you don't have to chug it down the whole time. You can kind of like slowly sip it or slurp it. And then you kind of decide when to stop, and then everyone sort of gradually stops. Now, number 2 is called you. So obviously it rhymes. So if you pick 2, you have to choose another person. And the person that you choose, they have to drink. So the person that gets the card doesn't drink, but they choose and delegate the drinking responsibility to somebody else. So you pull 2 and then you point at him. You say, okay, John's going to drink. And then John has to drink. 3, this one is me. Quite self-explanatory. So if you pull a 3, then you have to drink yourself because it's me. 4 is floor. So if you get 4, then you have to touch the floor, and the last person to touch the floor loses, has to drink. Now 5 is guys. So anybody who is a guy or a man has to drink. So if you get 5, all the guys drink. 6 is chicks, which kind of means woman. So a chick is like a lady in sort of non-official sort of colloquial English, let's just say. So if you get 6, then all the girls have to drink. But I think when we played it, it was just definitely was just all guys. So I think we delegated a few of us who were going to be the women in the game. Now 7 is heaven. Now the rules here say you have to put your hand in the air, pointing to heaven, and the last person to do it drinks. However, I think we played a different rule where you put your thumb on the table. I think it was for 7. And then the last person to put the thumb on the table has to drink. So you can be pretty sneaky about this one as well and just kind of put the thumb on the table and do it, just like hide it behind a drink so nobody sees. So a couple of people will see, and then eventually time will pass and there'll be like quite a few people that haven't noticed. And then suddenly people will be pointing, and then it's the last person to do it has to do it and then drink. So that one's quite a fun one. 8 is mate. Now mate is a very British word for friend. I'm sure you know. I think this one's quite a famous word. So my mate, my good mate, he's a mate of mine. Yeah, we're mates. Just means friend. Now, if you get 8, you have to pick a mate. So it means you and one person you pick. You're sort of working in tandem now. So you both have to drink at the same time. So if one out of the two of you loses, say they lose 7 on the thumb, then it means both of you have to drink. Or if they get nominated, then it means both of you have to drink. So you're kind of joint at the hip, so to speak, at that stage. Now 9's rhyme. This one's pretty fun. So if you get 9 from the deck, then you have to pick a word, and then everyone has to rhyme it with that word. So an easy example would be beer, and then you have to rhyme it with beer. So it could be cheer, deer, hair, near, etc., etc., and then that sort of goes around clockwise. And then the person that can't name one or names the same one, then they have to drink. And there's usually sort of a time on this. So if you can't name one in like 3 seconds, people are going to go, ah, too long, too long. Drink some. 10 is categories. So this one is similar to the previous one on 9 rhyme. The categories, the person that gets it has to say what the category is. So they might say football teams in the Premier League, or they might say type of fish. We actually had a similar one to this. We were in Bulgaria once, cheeky Sofia away day. And we're playing this game, basically like the category games, and going around. And then we did fish. So my friend said, right, fish. So then he said brown trout. And then I might have said place. And then someone else might have said cod. And then someone else might have said haddock. And then someone else might. And then it came to one of our friends. I think it was on the second iteration around. So 4 of us going around in a circle. And then he said crab. And we were like, hang on, hold on a minute, that's not a fish. And then he was getting, bless him, he was getting a bit irate at the time. And then we had this sort of half argument when he was trying to claim that crab was a fish. And we were like, hang on, not having that. And obviously you got to go to Uncle Google to check. And of course, crab is not a fish. It's a crustacean. Now that's the power of recording. I just paused it, checked Google, and then carried on recording. But as you were listening, it sounded like I knew that off the top of my head. So even smarter than I am. So yeah, the categories one's really fun. You get some funny slip-ups with that one. And then Jack is never have I ever. And then you pick the card and then play with somebody and say never have I ever done XYZ. And people that have to drink. And now nearly finishing up. So we've got Queen. So this one was question. Q for Q, Q for Queen, Q for question. And the person that picked the card then asked someone a question. And then the person who got asked the question has to ask somebody else a question. And then they have to ask somebody else a question until somebody can't think of a question or says the same question. And then they have to drink. So if you say, oh, how's the weather? And then 5 questions later, someone else says, how's the weather? That's a repetition. So lost. And then that person has to drink. And then king is make a rule. So if you pull a king, the person that pulls this has to make a rule that applies to everybody else in the rest of the game. For example, people must drink with both hands. People must make a certain noise when they drink. People must. I think we had one where if somebody lost, the other person had to hit them on the head, like softly or something like that. That kind of rings a bell. Sounds like something, some rule we would do. So King's quite good. And then I think once the last King has been pulled, they don't have to make a rule, but they have to drink what's in the middle. So obviously I said earlier that there's sort of drink in the middle. Now, if you lose, if you pull the king, you have to make a rule and put drink in the middle. And then throughout as well, I think people just add drink anyway without listening to rules. So if there's 4 kings, the first 3 kings, there's 3 rules and 3 drinks poured in the middle. And then if you're unlucky enough to get the last king, then you have to drink the sort of potion that's in the middle. So whoever gets the last drink is kind of not your lucky day, as you sort of have to swallow your pride, so to speak, and drink the concoction that's in the middle. Now, if everyone's drinking beer, it's not so bad, obviously, because it's just a sort of a mongrel of different beers all tied together. But if it's, for example, beer, spirits, juice, I think we added milk as well for some reason. Someone cooked an oven pizza as well. I think there was a bit of pizza pepperoni falling in there. So you can get creative with it. And as you can imagine, drinking the final concoction isn't very fun, but that's part of the game. Makes people laugh. And it is a good game to play before you go out, if you go out on a night out. So in any event, it was an episode sort of about card games in the end, I think it's fair to say. Ended up on drinking games, sort of gone back to the drinking topic, but such is life sometimes. So I hope everybody enjoyed the episode. If you've got any questions, please do get in touch, drop a comment, drop me an email, englishwithfraser@gmail.com. Do like the episode, do rate 5 stars, do share with friends, any suggestions, that kind of jazz, let me know. Hope you enjoyed it and take care. Thanks everyone. Bye bye.